Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, we were talking about that quote earlier from Matt Patricia of Jeffrey Okuda with very measured parse praise. Wasn't going over the top, which made me pick up the phone and make a call. Because I'm like, ooh, when I read this quote, it sounds to me like Jeffrey Okuda's struggling. And we shouldn't expect much. This is just talk. It has nothing to do with shoot the boot. I'm very happy to drink beer out of a shoe if I need to. Got the shoe picked out, and I'd probably do it from home when I'm doing a show from there. But anyway, so we read the quote, and it's long. I don't know if I should read it again to reset the. I guess I probably should. I think Jeff Okuda's done a really good job of just all the way through camp of learning. I think in the beginning of camp, as we know with young players, all the way across the board, there's a lot to learn, a lot of technique, but just the system too on top of it. Certainly sometimes learning how to practice like a professional is part of it and staying on our feet and making sure we're in control of things. Jeff is extremely competitive. He wants to compete on every play. It's just learning some of the things and how we do them. And I think he's made some really good strides on, I really think he's done a good job and improved in that area. I think the communication of the defense is a big part of it, especially at the corner position, working with safeties, being able to get that communication down. I think he's done a really good job of that, too. It's a progression. It's a long road. There's a lot to be covered here in a short amount of time. That part of it has been good, but his competitiveness and the way he approaches it and works, that's been great. And, you know, I'm thinking third overall pick, this guy starts from day one. You know, they had an opening at the starting position. They put a third overall pick into it. You don't have to be Deion Sanders, but I expect you to start. Now, that quote to you might mean nothing. It might. Some people might say, hey, he's going to be good. Or it sounds a little bit to me like Patricia is using parsed language because there's a lot of struggles with Okuda. 248-539-9797. There's a lot of feedback coming in on this.
I can imagine so.
Yep, from Tim in Brighton. They should have taken Tua. Next text from an unnamed texter. Hi, guys. They should have taken Tua.
Back to back.
Another text. Corner's one of the hardest positions to transition to in the NFL. He's going to get burned here and there because there are some obviously very good wide receivers in the league. By week 8, he should be cemented into the starter's role probably sooner.
Well, I like that tweet or text more than I don't like it. I think it's accurate. I think that by middle of the season, you're going to see a pretty good player out there. Now, we're not able to see practice all that much, and so rely on reports that we're getting from various people that are at training camp. And it seems like the consistent word on Okuda at training camp is, yeah, he's made mistakes, but he learns from those mistakes very quickly, and he makes adjustments very quickly, and he has improved a lot in training camp. He's still getting beat from time to time, but doesn't usually get beat twice on the same with the same mistake being made. So I think that's good to know. But the texter's right. Transitioning from a rookie in the league at the cornerback position is awfully tough.
Unnamed texter, I believe that quote is somewhat concerning. From what I've read, Okuda's been having issues staying on his feet and keeping his balance, which leads me to believe he's struggling to adjust to the speed of the NFL versus college. It's another unnamed texter. From Brandon in Redford. I think this is a big deal if Okuda doesn't start. That tells me he's certainly not worth the number 3 pick, and that's very frustrating. I also think it says Awarie has a chance to be pretty good. I actually really like that pick in the 5th round. He's got size and speed, kind of a good and bad thing at the same time. So I'm 100% there in lockstep with Brandon. I am not mad by any stretch of the imagination. It might sound like it a little bit. I endorsed the pick. I thought it was a good pick. I thought it made sense, and I thought he'd live up to it. If he's not starting on day one, if he hasn't proven to be good enough, it's probably a little unfair because we've had such a shortened preseason relative to what we're accustomed to. But he better be starting by the end of the year and showing signs that he's going to be worth the number three overall pick. You don't buy a guy at three, You don't draft a guy at three to develop him. You don't. The guy you get at three has to be good enough to start where there's an open position right away. And by right away, to be fair, I'll give him a few more weeks. I might lose the shoot the boot bet, but to be fair, because we had a shortened preseason, give him a little bit longer than half the start from week one, especially if Awarie is turning out to be a real find, but and coming into his own. But I got to tell you, if he's not playing by the end of the year and playing a lot, I'll be concerned.
Yeah, I would be concerned too. I think he's going to play. I think he's going to play an awful lot. He may start from week one. And if he doesn't, I'm not going to panic because it's just a matter of time before he does. And even if he doesn't start, I expect him to play quite a bit. You know, I think people have this need for the instant gratification and to justify the fact that he was taken third overall. And I understand that. We all, guys taken third overall, he should be an impact player right away. And yet, some positions, I think you can say, okay, slow down. It may not happen right away, but at least by middle of the season or at least going into the next season, you fully expect that to be the case, that he's ready to go and be that impact player. You're going to learn a lot from him, but I'm not going to be upset if he doesn't start from week one. Awarie should be ahead of him at this stage of the game.
All right, how about this one from an unnamed texter? This is what happens when you take a cornerback instead of either a franchise quarterback or a player that plays a position of higher value. Right now, if there could be a do-over, I think before a down is played, most people would say Jeff Okuda was a mistake at number three. Okay, these are practice reports from a coach who's notorious for not praising rookies. I'm not willing to say it's a mistake yet. I'm not going to put my name behind that. Would you put your name behind that already that's a mistake?
No.
No. Kang, would you put your name behind that this is a mistake already?
No, not yet, but I can't avoid the fact that Tua is, so far early reports as well, doing pretty well over in Miami. To go hand in hand with me, you know?
Does it matter at all that there are reports how great Stafford looks, or nobody cares about those anymore?
Well, that's fine, but I guess, you know, we're talking about, I mean,
I wasn't drafting Tua to play this year anyways, though.
Fair enough.
And I knew Stafford was going to be on the team.
Yeah, I think the idea that Tua looks great isn't a shock. I think what happens is when Tua starts taking hits from opponents, what happens?
Yeah, I've moved past the fact that I wanted Tua. I know Tang wanted Tang. I know Kang wanted Tua as well. We both wanted Tua. So when I look at the disappointment, am I going to be disappointed with Okuda based on where he is in this stage? No, I'm not going to be. I'll give that time to be, but I'm not going to tie him to Tua for the evaluation of Okuda just yet. But yeah, I'm kind of with Kang. When I heard those reports coming out about Tua Tagovailoa, I think it was Joe Shad that had that tweet that was very, very much effusive in the praise of Tua Tagovailoa. You had to at least go, oh, wait a minute. Did they make a mistake? I mean, because, yeah, I want them to take the quarterback, but they have the corner, not the quarter. And you're right, Doug, it's fair. Stafford apparently looks great in practice, too.
248-539-9797. Sean is next. Hi, Sean.
Oh, boys, this discussion reminds me of a thought I had the other day. I was reading an article about how loaded the Lions offense is, okay? And I was thinking to myself, how did that happen? How did we get this loaded offense? It all comes back to the same thing for me. It's this stupid defensive scheme that they're so stubbornly married to. So if you think about this, okay, have we drafted a defensive lineman in the first two rounds since Patricia or even Quinn has been here? I think the answer is no, just from memory, right? They don't value those positions. So The only front seven guys they've drafted early were Jared Davis, which was his first one, right? Which I don't, we had to get a linebacker at that point. Mm-hmm. And then he reached for Jelani Tavai, right? Because of a specific body type. The rest of the guys that we have right now currently in our front seven are these expatriate scheme fit guys that they've plugged in there. So if you're not going to take the best defensive end on the board in the draft in the first two rounds, or you're not going to take the best defensive tackle on the board in the first two rounds, who's left to draft? You end up with T.J. Hockenson. You get, you know, Swift, which is basically a first-round pick to me because it was number three. Lots of first-round talent there in the second round. Or you get a cornerback, right? They will not take those guys. So you only have so many positions you can take when that's the case. It's stupid. Our defense suffers because of it, and I'm tired of it.
You might be right, Sean.
Well, wait. Sean, do you think if Chase Young was available at three, they would have taken him?
No.
Wow.
I don't. I think they would have passed on him. I swear to God, he does not fit this scheme, Gator. He can't do what an outside linebacker can that's pass rushing from the outside. Because if a running back goes out in the flat, he's not going to be able to cover him.
No,
they wouldn't have taken him. There's no way.
They'd probably rather have Jamie Collins.
100%. Yep. They will not waver,
Sean,
from this stupid scheme.
It's really their theory, and they're going to sink or swim with it. I think you're way more right than wrong, and it feels like, I mean, you got to be committed to what you do, but you also better be right, or it's going to cost you. 248-539-9797. Gator, there is an interesting report from a source that's been all over the Big Ten postponing their season. An interesting report updating what the Big Ten is evaluating and may do. Mm-hmm. I find this to be fascinating. We will get to that at 11:35. It's Karsh and Anderson here on 97.1 The Ticket. Doug Karsh, Scott Anderson. Wow, we got some authentic football talk going on as we are now just... What, 16 days away from the scheduled Detroit Lions opener, 13 days away from the NFL opener. By the way, Kang, do you guys get anywhere with your fantasy football draft? Do you got is it all scheduled and all that?
All right, so there's been a thread started this week to get things the ball rolling because, as crazy as it is, you're right, 13 days, the first NFL game's being played, and doesn't seem like it at all because no preseason games and all the other stuff. But the thread has started... And I'm not optimistic about this. So the thing is, we want to iron out all the issues before we get to the draft. Otherwise, you spend, you know, a couple more hours arguing about what to do, and then you're just wasting time, right?
Yep.
The draft gets pushed back even farther or later. So we've had a couple of texts, but no one's really responded. So at this point, I think commissioners just got to pull the commissioner card out and just make the rules up himself. And if you don't like it, deal with it. You know what I mean?
Like how to deal with it if a team gets COVIDed and has to sit out.
There's so many questions, Doug. Yep. There's roster spots, add drop limitations or not. There's if the season doesn't finish, how's the payouts work? What happens if there's only one game that gets postponed or suspended? Do you treat that as an entire IR? How do you pick up players? Is it just, you know... It's a lot of things going on, and that's why I'm not as excited this year. It's clearly not the same,
yeah.
So who knows?
There's tempered enthusiasm for fantasy football. All right, so some Akuda texts are still coming in. We read the quote, which could be attributed to rambling Matt Patricia, not wanting to give any rookie too much praise, Matt Patricia, B, or tempered expectations, Matt Patricia, on Jeffrey Okuda because he's struggling a little bit. These are the kind of texts that make me feel like we're being irresponsible. Robert sends us the following. Guys, I'm not mad about Okuda not starting, but it speaks volumes to Quinn's inefficiencies as a GM. Okay, he may start. And I'm not going to get mad about it either. And we should give him a couple weeks because let's face it, training camp was shorter. There were no preseason games. This is a way shorter run-up. The quote did make me pick up the phone and make a call, and what I got back is this very well could be Patricia, who is very reluctant to give rookies praise, doing just that, A. And B, the source told me he thinks Okuda's going to be good, real good, and has a chance to be a great one. So let's keep that in mind, and I've mentioned that all along. So I'm not ready to go all nuclear on the Lions in this pick just yet. I think that might be a bit premature.
Yeah, don't go nuclear.
All right, so it seems as though one of the most interesting reports, the most interesting reporters on the Big Ten and what they're planning on doing has been the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and the reporter Jeff Petrikas, who was the first to report that the Big Ten wasn't actually looking at a spring season. They were looking at starting in January. And now he quotes two college football people familiar with the Big Ten that the Big Ten's talks have generated a new option that a Big Ten season of at least 8 games could start the week of Thanksgiving. The Journal Sentinel reported earlier this month that league officials, I'm reading directly now, that league officials are working on a plan to play an 8-game season beginning in January with the games to be played in indoor facilities. If teams were unable to take the field later this year because of the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic, league officials could still fall back on the January start. Then the story goes on to say, the news comes one day after the U.S. Food and Drug Administration granted emergency approval for the rapid antigen test designed by Abbott Labs. The test is expected to cost $5 and results should be available in just 15 minutes without the sample being sent to a lab. I believe this is a saliva testing. Is the same as the saliva testing that we've been reading so much?
I think there's two different tests, I believe.
Are there? Okay. Abbott anticipates being able to produce 50 million of the Binax Now test by October. 50 million. In addition, Abbott has designed a free mobile app that will allow those who test negative to display a temporary date-stamped health pass. That pass will be renewed each time a new test is administered. So, the Big Ten is eyeing starting on Thanksgiving. So this thing's evolved a little bit. You know, it was all Big Ten in the spring, and then it was Big Ten in January in indoor facilities. Now it could be Thanksgiving. This is getting interesting.
It is interesting. And obviously things have to be worked out, but I'm curious, is it getting started after Thanksgiving on campus at those sites, or are they still going to go with the indoor sites? Or is it start at campus sites and then we'll switch to indoor sites when the weather gets to be too much or what?
I mean, they obviously have to be careful, not careful, but they have to be cognizant of the weather and the typical weather patterns.
See, I also find this a little strange, though, because the medical experts are talking about the potential second wave that comes at True. That time. Like, colleges are shutting down after Thanksgiving, you know? At least that was the plan initially. But a lot of colleges now just shut down already. But some are going to shut down from roughly Thanksgiving all the way through like the second week of January, and some are even up to February 1st because of not only the pandemic that's going on, but also now you got flu season that's going to come in into play as well. But I don't know. I'm interested to see how this does work out. Said all along that I think that the possibility of having the rapid testing could be that game-changing moment where we can get people back to work, back to school, back to the playing fields, whatever the case is, because this is the technological advancement, the medical advancement that we need. It's not a cure, but it will help you know how to better handle this virus.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's... I guess if you say, okay, the earliest, if we like this testing and we think we can start at Thanksgiving, let's give it a shot around Thanksgiving weekend. And then if you look at it and you go, things are still dicey, we'll push it back to January. And if you don't like it, we'll push it back to the spring or we'll just cancel it altogether. I mean, I think it makes sense to try and start as soon as you deem safe.
Yeah, I guess here's what I would love to hear, okay, because again, as a fan, you want college football, and earlier the better, right?
Yep.
But wouldn't it be great if you could coordinate with the other three conferences that are already committed to playing and have them push back the start of their seasons, which they might be more receptive to now,
yep,
given all the positive tests that are going on down in those areas?
It seems as though there's a lot of these SEC schools, Oklahoma lost a position group. NC State shut down practices for a week. Vanderbilt had to shut down. Notre Dame had some issues. Syracuse, Texas Tech.
NC State's already pushed back the start of their season a couple weeks. So it would be great if they could coordinate with everybody, and this is what Mark Emmert needs to do because he's the head of the NCAA. It's not just the commissioners of each conference, but get them all together and say, okay, look, we think we may have a game-changing situation here with testing availability. How about we push back the start of the season so all the Power 5 conferences can compete, along with other conferences as well, and we start our season, if you want to start it in Thanksgiving, fine, beginning of November, whatever the case is, however soon they can get this testing done, and start it with, you know, kids go back and practice full bore starting at the end of September or something, you know? I think that would be better to hear as opposed to SEC, Big 12, ACC starting middle of September and Big 10 picks up in towards the end of November. That seems bothersome to me because it's still those three conferences are acting on their own and they're going to have their own season and it's all done and the Big 10 just plays with themselves, if you will. and you know, it's not the same thing because we've gone from a full schedule of 12 games with all the teams involved to a conference only 10 game schedule, and now we're talking an 8 game conference only schedule. That just look, any college football is better than no college football, but that seems kind of weak. Let's coordinate.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a bad idea, and it would be meeting in the middle. Big Ten's move from spring to potentially Thanksgiving. We've already seen the SEC push back to the end of September. So they could be headed towards a uniform start date.
Which would be awesome.
It would make sense.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.